to be stopped, and I think everybody agrees on this.
Well, we're trying to get to this public health message that can really get the public health attention. So I think it was about a week ago, Harvey Risch and I appeared on Fox News, and Harvey Risch did describe the vignette of the woman who got the vaccine and breastfeeding, and it killed the baby. Today, we have 800 cases of young people developing myocarditis or inflammation of the heart. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a cardiologist, I have a clinical authority position here. And I'm going to opine that because there's no clinical benefit whatsoever in young people to get the vaccine, that even one case is too many. And the CDC, distributed their slides today, and their conclusion is, well, we're going to reevaluate again a little bit later on in June. So our agencies have done nothing to reduce the risks of the vaccine. It's called risk mitigation. And I've chaired over 24 data safety monitoring boards for the FDA and the National Institutes of Health. And with this program, there is no critical event committee. There is no data safety monitoring board, and there's no human ethics committee. Those structures are mandatory for all large clinical investigations. And so the word that's really used for what's going on is malfeasance, is wrongdoing by those in position of authority. And without any safety measures in place, you can see what's going on. We're administering basically it's the largest application of a biological product with the greatest amount of morbidity and mortality in the history of our country. We are at over 5,000 deaths, as you know. I think 15,000 hospitalizations. In the EU, it's over 10,000 deaths. We are working with Center for Medicaid and Medicaid Services, CMS data, and we have a pretty good lead that the real number is tenfold. We knew from data from Harvard in 2016 that the vaccine adverse event reporting system only reports about 10% of what's really going on. So we had to get another data source, and we have inside people. We have now a whistleblower inside the CMS, and we have two whistleblowers within the CDC. And those are being developed right now in order to get this out. So we're looking at 10x. We think we have 50,000 dead Americans, 50,000. So we actually have more deaths due to the vaccine per day than certainly the viral illness by far. It's basically, in a sense, it's propagandized bioterrorism by injection.
Yeah. And the big question is who's behind this. The picture is becoming clear. I have to translate quickly. Sagt, in Texas gab es überhaupt keine Lockdowns. Es gibt dort gesetzliche Eingaben, also Vorschläge für Gesetze, die sicherlich auch am Ende Erfolg haben werden. Es soll keine Vaccine Passports geben. Es gibt keine Impfpflicht. Jetzt wird im Gericht gerade gekämpft darum, dass man auch den privaten Arbeitgebern verbieten will, solche Impfpflichten durchzusetzen. Er arbeitet mit genau den Leuten zusammen, mit denen wir auch zusammenarbeiten. Die Anwälte hat er zwar nicht genannt, aber ich habe sie eben genannt. Es ist Anna Garner, die wir hier schon hatten, Tom Renz, es ist natürlich Bobby Kennedy und seine Children's Health Defense, Mary Holland. Und die haben da gerade eine temporary restraining, eine einstweilige Verfügung beantragt in Alabama, um diese Impfung von Kindern zu verhindern. Dort gibt es inzwischen aber auch Unterstützung in der Politik, auf die man hier noch ewig lange warten wird, beziehungsweise wenn wir in der Politik sind, wird es ja besser. Nämlich zwei Senatoren, das ist einmal Ron Johnson und einmal Rand Paul, die auch beide sich nicht impfen lassen, aber es gibt Unterstützung auch in den Mainstream-Medien, also Fox News ist inzwischen da, auch wenn auch dort in den USA die Social Media nach wie vor alles zerstören, was nicht im Sinne von der WHO ist. Aber er sagt, wir haben die wesentlich mehr glaubhafte und wesentlich besser ausgebildeten Wissenschaftler, als es die Fauci-Seite und deren Regierungsagenturen haben. Man hat also tatsächlich Unterstützung in den Mainstream-Medien. auch durch solche, die haben ja auch eigene Outlets, zum Beispiel CHD hat mit der Zeitschrift The Defender, haben die einiges zu melden. Dann gibt es Dell Bigtree, das ist ein großer Name. Jedenfalls fasst dann nochmal zusammen, das hier ist Bioterrorismus und wir sind in der Phase 2. Die Phase 1 war das Virus selbst, jetzt wird das Virus praktisch durch die Impfungen nochmal weiter verbreitet, darauf jedenfalls läuft alles hinaus. Und die andere Seite versucht alles, um jeden auf der Welt mit Impfstoffen zu versehen.
So how many states are without any lockdown or like other, you know, nuisances with regards to the like measures, Corona, anti-COVID?
30 now, right?
Yeah, I don't know the numbers, but it's clear that the lead states are Texas and Florida, which is good. Those are two very big states. And Florida has the most elderly people. Yeah. And so they have shown, and that's where COVID strikes the most. So we have shown great resilience in these independent states with these governors. I just got the email from Laura Ingraham on Fox News. To just give you an idea, at least we have one major news station that's with us. Her email says tonight we're going to talk about in a few hours the mistrust in Fauci and the medical elites who do his bidding. The fallout from his emails to do a hydroxychloroquine study that show the drug was unfairly maligned to finally maligned. Finally, this new concern about heart issues in young men after their second vaccination. The public has very little faith in what we're being told in terms of life and death. So you can see how we have really come a long way to get the media. At least some of the media now coming with us. What I've learned in this whole thing is we gave up on the scientific publications. We've gave up on these other things. We have to go straight to the people.
Yeah, that is precisely what we think, too. There's one major medium here in this country which has been critical, not overly critical, but critical to a point. They have just come out, I think, yesterday or the day before yesterday, with a story that explains how fraudulently the government, our own government, informed the people about how the healthcare system was being overwhelmed when it wasn't. They gave us completely false numbers, completely false figures as far as the intensive care beds are concerned. We had many more than they claimed, and in addition, their real financial incentives to keep these beds unoccupied because there's so much money that's being paid to the hospitals and to the doctors. But this is all, you know, the one good thing about this is all coming. Out into the open, so to be able to deal with this, and we will, because we have enough people who are willing to fight, and I think there's many more who just couldn't bring themselves to come out into the open, but a few of them we just met today, including the doctor who saved that woman whom we interviewed a couple of weeks ago.
I think Wolfgang wants to say something.
I think Wolfgang wants to ask a question. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, I have one thing or two things. One is that with the hospitals, we have from the office from who is controlling the government and how they spend the money. They have clear numbers. They say that the clinical care in Germany cost $1.5 billion more than normally than last year's, and they have 8% less patients in the same time. So they got a lot of money, but it was never overloaded the clinical system in Germany. And the other thing I wanted to just you speak about bioterrorism, and I want to distinguish there because you speak about bioterrorism by vaccination, and I think you're right when you say this, but because I don't think that there is a dangerous virus on the way now. Because if we speak about bioterrorism by gain-of-function viruses, I'm very sure that gain-of-function viruses, if they would spread, they could not spread because they would kill their hosts. And so it's a very stupid virus that kills the host. So I'm eager to tell the people that they needn't be afraid of dangerous viruses that come from some laboratory in Wuhan, and so that people are not terrified because there's something special. It's just a coronavirus, and we are acquainted to coronaviruses, to SARS viruses, beta coronaviruses since 20 years. And so our immune system is. So don't be afraid of the virus, but be afraid of the vaccination. The bioterrorism, this is the vaccination and not the virus.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you that the natural immunity will be able to handle the variants as far as I can see. I'm not predicting another wave. In fact, my last TV appearance, I told America, listen, there's not going to be another wave. And so when I come down, when I talk to America, I'm very positive. I give a very joyous message. I calm down the country. And by doing that, Fauci and the other people can't stand it because they want to promote fear.
Yeah.
They want to promote suffering. And they want to promote this vaccine. And so that's their message. And so we're just the opposite. And we agree with you. Mm. Now, what could be happening? Is let's say there's an adversary. Let's just say it's China. They could be dealing at a very high level saying, listen, we do have, C21. Mm-hmm. We have a more virulent virus and we want, you know, favorable trade status or we want other things because they'll say, listen, we showed you what can happen with, you know, the first round. We have something. So there may be a threat. But I agree with you in terms of the natural infection. It will move around. I think it's going to hit Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. It's going to hit some more vulnerable populations. But if we can simply respond with treatment in every case, Mexico City, countries in South America, United States, and now India, every single case, when we crush the curves with early treatment, if we just treat the high-risk patients, by treating patients with multi-drug treatment, we reduce the duration of symptoms, we reduce the spread dramatically, and we reduce hospitalization and death. It's very, very important. The only thing that can do that, vaccination will not do that. Vaccination, because the people getting the vaccine have less than a 1% chance of ever coming in contact with the virus. And then when they do, they have a, you know, way less than 1% chance of even getting the virus. Mm-hmm. It's impossible for the vaccine to have an impact on the epidemic curve. And that's another message we've been getting out to the public, because the people promoting the vaccine are going to claim victory. That, things worked out in our favor. And Brown in Canada and others have done great analyses. It's mathematically impossible for the vaccine to have any impact. The CDC in the United States has recorded 10,000 breakthrough cases, bona fide breakthrough cases where the vaccine failed. And we don't know the denominator, but we knew it was very labor intense. And our read on their action is they were overwhelmed with the number of breakthrough cases. Overwhelmed. They gave up. At the end of May, they gave up. They said, we're not going to track any more breakthrough cases. So,
yes, and we know that when the clinical studies were finished, the absolute risk reduction is about around 1%.
Yeah.
And the others, they were already immune. So this is ridiculous. The effect of the vaccination to protect people is ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous. We have data from Cleveland Clinic that just published that 50% of people who are already immune, naturally immune, they're still getting the vaccine because they were told by the government to get the vaccine. We have data from 3 studies, 2 in the UK and 1 in the United States, showing of those who get the vaccine, about 30% are already immune, COVID immune. So you can see how the vaccine is contrived. This whole thing is contrived. It should be very obvious that now the CDC has changed the cycle threshold down to lower. Yeah. So they're going to make fewer cases. So it's going to look like things like the vaccine saved it. So maybe the thing about this in bioterrorism injection is, why did they make it so toxic right now where so many people are dying? Why didn't they make it more acceptable? Because I think what the real payload of the bioterrorism is going to be on the boosters.
Mm-hmm. That's what we begin to fear too. Let me explain why Wolfgang said this, because the other day I had an interview with Steve Bannon, And he heard me out. He didn't quite agree because it seems that that was news to him. But this is what really happened, and we know this from talking to two former WHO employees. There was an accident at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Yes, and the Chinese were really worried about it, and that's why they ordered the person who runs that lab to come back immediately. And even while she was still on the train, they took down their website so as to cover their tracks. So they were really worried. But within 2 or 3 weeks, they realized, well, nothing much had happened. However, the other side, as we call them, took this as the springboard as a triggering incident to put that agenda into motion, which they had been planning for at least 10 years. They've been planning for longer, but for 10 years we can see there are concrete plans that they've been making. And the final, I guess you could call it a dry run, was this event 201, which is really event 21 because the O is the Earth, in October of 2019. So that's when they decided, we're going to take this opportunity. And that's when they told Drosten, that's why we were at this hearing this morning at the inquiry. Then they told Drosten, start your work on your PCR tests. He started his work on New Year's Eve, we believe. And a couple of weeks later, on the 22nd and 23rd of January, there was an enormous push, probably by the pharmaceutical industry, on the WHO to finally declare the public health emergency of international concern. Because that's what you need in order to get the emergency use authorization in the United States for these vaccines, which are completely untested, or the conditional use authorization here in Europe. But they couldn't agree on anything because there were no cases. But they did agree on one thing. They're going to have another second emergency meeting 2 weeks later in early February. And that's when they declared the public health emergency of international concern. Why? Because they had been using the Drosten test, because he had made this test, this PCR test, available to them. And they had pushed it as the gold standard for the entire world, as the gold standard for detecting infections. As we all know, in the meantime, you cannot detect infections with a PCR test. And as we also know, because of the people who, one of the experts is Dr. Mike Yeadon, who I know you're in touch with, and he told us, if you go up to 35 cycles of amplification, you end up with at least 97% false positives. This guy had his cycles of amplification up to 45. So guess what this is? All false positives. That's why Wolfgang is saying it is not the accident. It is not the dangerous virus that escaped from the lab. It's the vaccinations that we have to be worried about. And it's probably correct. I mean, I can't be the judge of this because I'm not a medical doctor, but it's probably correct that we really have to be afraid of the boosters.
Yeah, well, we've learned a lot. You know, you probably have reviewed that autopsy case from Germany just a few days ago that came out. But we've learned that, I'm sure you know all this, but we were told by the Salk Institute and by the manufacturers that the lipid nanoparticles and the messenger RNA in them stay in the arm. They don't.
Yeah.
They distribute elsewhere. Our radiologists know that the breast becomes incredibly inflamed in a woman so much that they can't read a mammogram. They've actually changed their mammography criteria, at least in my hospital and I know elsewhere. And that the autopsy showed that in fact there's a tremendous distribution of, and you've reviewed it, the spike protein is clearly pathogenic, the gain of function mutation, the 4 amino acid sequence at the furin cleavage joint. You know, there's 4 domains that code for HIV. We are always wondering why the lymphocyte count is down. The email that went to Fauci that says, hey, Tony, how did you get the HIV coded in there? I mean, you can see that this is going on. This was absolutely by design. This is a weapon of bioterrorism, and to inject messenger RNA or adenoviral DNA and cause an uncontrolled production of the spike protein in the human body is a very, very biologically dangerous proposition. We don't know what controls how the height of the production of the spike protein, the organs in which it's produced, where it circulates to. We know it causes a unique form of thrombosis, which is partly hemagglutination, because the spike protein attaches to sialic acid residues on red blood cells. Normally, coagulation, the red blood cells are not involved, but here the red blood cells are. We know that, for instance, The Italians have shown that when the oxygen saturation goes down the lungs, it's due to microthrombosis. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, of course, giving Chinese remdesivir to somebody with microthrombosis in the lungs is going to do nothing. And so one person who you may want to talk to, he's kind of flamboyant, but he's interesting. He's got influence, is Steve Kirsch. Steve Kirsch is a millionaire. And Steve Kirsch has offered $2 million publicly to say, can anybody show that the CDC, FDA, or NIH has done one single thing correct in the pandemic response? If he can, he'll pay $2 million. And no one has even brought forward, no one's even written him a letter. So, you know, this is it's a colossal blunder. And of course, the news is interested. The news cycle is always promulgated by this. But our goal is to take the message to the public, to remain impeccable and unimpeachable in our scientific integrity, to always present ourselves very professionally and see if we can win public opinion to have a block of people not get the vaccine. And then once that occurs and it becomes clear, I think the other side will be exposed.
Yeah.
Why did they want this vaccine?